When my son was born, I was filled with all the hope and possibilities for his life. As I sat alone, I looked into his beautiful brown face, and I promised I would raise him right. He would be well-spoken, thoughtful, and learned, a good boy who would grow into a man with integrity and character. Then, something seeped into my consciousness quite unexpectedly and left me breathless. It was the awareness that the joy in my son's eyes, his laughter, and his cleverness may one day be rendered invisible because he is black and male. That once he is remade into all that is feared, he is no longer somebody's son, our beloved. For more than a year, the nation has been riveted by the shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin by George Zimmerman, a neighborhood watchman. Jarred, we have talked of race, stereotypes, and violence, as if before that fateful night in Sanford, Florida, all was right with the world. Yet, Trayvon Martin's death is the incarnation of my most unspeakable fear. And so it is with all the black mothers I know. He joins our collective memories of sons lost and families grieved. Our hearts are heavy. There is no solace for our fears that despite all we have done, our sons may not come home to us. When my son was a small boy, this fear would visit me in flashes, and with equal intensity, I would push it away. Knowing that one day I would need to prepare him, even if I could not protect him. He is now 12 years old. His legs and feet have stretched, and his face shows glimpses of the young man he will become. So his father and I begin with small lessons. I tell him, don't wear your hoodie or hat indoors. It is impolite. If you have your hoodie on, make sure to wear it away from your face so it will not block your vision. One day, I will tell him the real reason for my admonishments, but not today. I look as he walks away, jacket pulled tight, with his hoodie warming his ears, and I worry. When he was 10, he wanted a Nerf gun. It was dark and looked like a rifle. I pointed to another model that was bright orange with large angles and curves. That one is okay, I said. We have lived in a predominantly white neighborhood in Greensboro for my son's entire life. But if he carries a toy that resembles a weapon, I fear that in the dusk or bright sunlight, someone may not see our son's zeal as he launches his neon orange darts, and in that moment, he will be unrecognizable to them. Now I look at my beautiful chocolate brown son, and when he smiles at me, I see the peach fuzz on his upper lip he calls a mustache. And as he grows, so do our fears. On hearing about the acquittal of George Zimmerman in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin, my first thought is my son. How do I keep him safe? I catch my breath. My chest tightens. From our neighborhood street, I hear what sounds like the laughter of teenagers. I look outside and see they are white. I wonder what their mothers feel tonight and will feel tomorrow. I pull my son closer to me on the couch. All afternoon, our home phone rings, calls from most everyone close to me. No one speaks very long. There is mostly sadness and resignation. My dad implores, "You've got to talk to that boy. He's got to understand this is America." He speaks not of the America of our dreams, but of its darkest moments. I know my father is right, but I don't want to say what must be said. My son almost matches my height of 5'9". He has a quick mind and an expressive tongue, My husband and I have taught him there may come a time when he has to control both if he wants to survive, even if he is right. He does not really understand, not yet, but he must, and soon.